And now on BBC Radio 4, it's time once again for the show business legend, raconteur and potential winner of the Dog Trainer of the Year, were he to get a dog, Count Arthur Strong. Count Arthur is fast developing a reputation of being one of the leading dog whisperers in the country after having watched someone else doing it on television. When asked what it is he whispered to dogs, he replied, "That's for me to know and them to say pardon." Join him now for this festive instalment of Count Arthur Strong's radio show. Oh, for crying out loud, you just get in the sodden lavatory and the phone goes off. If I had a penny for every time that happened when I was trying to spend a penny, I could go to the toilet for free. Hello? Hello? Why is this bloody thing not working now? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? I can't hear you at all, whoever you are. It's still ringing my end. Is it still ringing your end? Hello? Hang on a minute, this isn't the telephone. This is a soup ladle. Well, who's put that there then? On my mock teak veneered nest of occasional tables with one missing. Oh, here's the sodding thing. Hello, Count Arthur. Oh, for goodness sake, I've rung off now. Good mind to get this soup ladle disconnected. Ringing whenever anybody wants to speak to me about soup. I wouldn't mind, but most of the time it's some halfwit asking me if I've ever done a pee-pee. Which reminds me, I was on the way to use my penny-spending facilities before I was thwarted in my ambition. Oh, for crying out loud! That's another sodding penny I'm owed. Right. That's the second failed attempt I've had at going to the toilet in the last 5 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Is something the matter with you?
Tummy, what are you inferring?
Tummy trouble.
Tummy trouble? There's nothing wrong with my tummy, thank you very much. I'll have you know, when I last stripped down to my vest and underpants and stood in front of Dr. Baker, he said I had bowels to die for. And I'm quoting him now, worm for worm. Is that it, then?
Is what it?
Is that why you're phoning up? On the off chance, I have an upset Timmy. Tommy! Just out of interest, what is your hit rate?
Hit rate?
Yes, say out of every 1,000 people you phone up, how many actually have stomach trouble?
No.
What are you doing with all these statistics, anyway? It all sounds a bit shady to me, does this? I hope this isn't identity theft. I'd hate to think of my bowels being used for someone else's nefarious ends.
It's Susan.
What is?
I'm Susan Warren, your agent.
I'm not Asian. I'm 100% Anglo-Saxophone.
I'm Susan Warren, your theatrical agent.
Well, why didn't you say so? And what's all the medical questions, then? Are you moonlighting for Akerbilk?
Akerbilk?
Yes, Akerbilk, the well-known pharmaceuticals company. No, not Akerbilk. Alka-Pops. Alcatraz. I'm Tina Turner. Oh, no. You know, them that do the fizzy tablet you put in water. Alka-Spritzer. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, this is like being in a Pinter play.
Is it? Oh, well, thank you very much.
Look, do me a favour. Let's just wind the clock back and pretend we're starting the conversation now.
Well, I can't remember what I said at the start now. I think it was something to do with the toilet. Does that ring any bells for you?
No, I don't want the same conversation.
Well, that's what you inferred. Honestly, Semolina. Sanatogen. Saline drip.
It's Susan.
I never had these misunderstandings when Larry was running things.
Well, sadly, Larry Trafalgar is no longer with us, is he? And I seem somehow to have inherited you as a client.
Oh, yes, and if I could just once again reiterate for crystal clear clarinet, Suzette, he was as right as rain, Larry was, when I walked out of that hospital. I've never seen him look more, breathing.
Look, you've got an audition.
An audition? Tell them I'll do it.
Well, you don't know what it is yet.
Oh, yes, there is that, yes. It might be useful to know what it is. After all, forewarned is foreheaded.
the Adelphi are doing bedknobs and broomsticks for Christmas. They want to see you for the part of Emilius Brown.
Emilius Brown, you say? Emilius Brown? Oh, they want me to give them my Emilius. Right, well, tell them I'll do it.
You know the part?
Well, not per se, no. But it sounds very much like the sort of name I'd be good at doing.
They're not offering you the part. You have to audition. Someone's dropped out and they're having to cast the part today. So they're in a bit of a panic. They'll be asking you to sing.
Oh, yes, I could sing. Oh, what's that song? I am an anarchist. I am an antichrist. Boo-boo-bido.
Marvellous. I've got song lyrics that they want you to sing. I don't suppose you have broadband, do you?
Well, I didn't think they still did it, to be honest.
What?
Blue band. Margarine. I might have some stalk at the back of the fridge. Would lard do if I couldn't lay my hands on any?
No, no, no. I'm not getting involved in this. I'm getting one bike to cross. Be at the Adelphi, 12:15.
Yes, so she said she's getting one bike to cross right away for me, Jerry. Well, it's what they do, isn't it, these days? I mean, not everybody has a blue band.
Blue band?
Yes, I bet Lawrence of Olive Oil didn't rely on a margarine you can't get anymore in order to secure the role of Henry IX.
Don't you have to be there to sign for it?
Do I? Well, she never said anything about that. Mind you, her telephone technique was most odd. Started off with some light chit-chat about my bowels.
Hello, Count Strong.
Oh, here, Malcolm. Make yourself useless. Take this napkin and stick it on my door.
But I've only come in for...
Shush! In Jerry's cafe. Here. Wait a minute. What are you dressed like a butcher for?
I'm helping Mr. Taylor in his shop with the Christmas rush.
Are you? Well, I hope Wilf's not letting you handle his cold meat. And anyway, you can't be working in a butcher's shop if you're serious about acting.
Well, it's only for December.
Doesn't matter. Name one actor who's also a qualified butcher. All right, apart from me. And Barry Cryer. And Lionel Blair. And Joanna Lumley. Oh, shut up, anyway. Times were very different then. Acting was a risky business. You had to be prepared to fall back on meat. But you... You should only be thinking about treading the boards, the smell of the goose paint, the roar of the cow. Hang on a minute. Will you get a staff discount?
I think so.
All right. Well, you can grab my kidneys then. In fact, if you get a discount, I'd like to funnel all my meat through you. Oh, yes, I can see you being a butcher. And if you stick to it, who knows? You could end up with your own butcher's shop. Perchance, your own abattoirium. Malcolm's Monster Meat Dome.
It's just to get a bit of money for Christmas.
Hey, you shouldn't be so marrow-minded. Anyway, shut up. Go and put this napkin sign I fashioned on my door for the getting one bike to cross, man.
I only came in to get Mr. Taylor's sandwich.
Oh, don't worry about that. I'll take Wilfie's sandwich.
But why can't I take him his sandwich and you put this on your door?
Because my door, Malcolm, is a good deal further away, obviously. I may be stupid, but I'm not stupid.
It's not fair.
I'll tell you something, Malcolm. You'd be far more successful in life if you just showed a little bit more... How can I put this? Blind obedience.
What do you want me to do with Wilf's sandwich?
You better give it here, Jerry. I'll have a tea first, please, before I take it round. Which would only be fair if you put that on Wilf's sandwich bill, along with a small breakfast. A mega gut buster. After all, I am considerably putting myself out on his account. He'd also probably want me to have a jam-poli roni and custard as well. I'll be over there with Dempsey and Makeshift. Mind if I join you, you two? As the man with the tube of glue said to two people he wanted to sit down at the same table as...
What do you mean, Arthur?
Oh, some things don't need explaining, Geoffrey. And that has been one of them.
Are you busy?
Am I busy? God, blimey, it never stops for me. I'm a blur, Sally, a blur. I am spinning so many plates right now. If I told you how many plates, your mind would not be able to comprehend it. that part of your brain that imagines crockery rotating would literally explode, then implode, then plode.
If you're so busy, what are you doing in here?
I am currently awaiting delivery of a plate. Not a plate, a spoon. Not a spoon, a script. It's for an audition I'm doing later today.
Ooh, what's it for?
It's for a Christmas show they're doing at the Endorphin Theatre. A scene of many of my theatrical triumphs.
You mean the pantomime you did there in 1979? It was hardly a triumph, unless you call ending up in traction for 3 months at the infirmary a triumph.
Oh, most hilarious, Sally. Yes, the comedy world lost a very fine comedian when you decided to go into mooching around with your shopping bag all day.
What show is it?
Somebody, I've got my mouth full. Well, I've never heard of it. It's called Bedbugs and Drumsticks. No, not Bedbugs and Drumsticks. Bedheads and Doorknobs. Headboards and Redheads. Rednecks and Headbangers.
Bedknobs and Broomsticks?
That's it. I was right the first time. Bedsheets and Panhandles. I am, of course, up for the hugely demanding role of, I think it was Eric someone.
I like Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I like the bit where all the suits of armour come to life and they have a fight with the German soldiers.
What are you talking about? Have you been at the As de Spumantia game, Geoffrey? Oh, that was a delicious sandwich, cheese and coleslaw. Yeah, I'll just remember that. Oh, sod it, I've just eaten Wilf's sandwich.
Hello, Jerry.
Oh, for goodness sake, he's here now.
All right, Wilf.
Is Malcolm here?
Well, he was here. He was talking to Arthur. Arthur? Arthur, what are you doing under the table?
Oh, the bloody thing. I dropped something on the floor, Jerry, and I'm looking for it.
What have you dropped?
A golden sovereign.
A golden sovereign?
I didn't see you dropping anything.
Shut up.
What are you doing in here with a golden sovereign?
Have you seen Malcolm, Arthur?
Oh, hello, Wilf. Oh. Are you putting on weight?
Putting on weight? No.
Oh, yes, I'd say you were. Don't you think so, you two?
No.
Yes, I'd have to agree with myself there. In fact, if I didn't know it was you, I'd think you were someone else who was fat. If you ask me, you should think about cutting out a few meals a day for the foreseeable future. What is it they say? A moment on the lips give you piles. Piles on the hips. Piles on the pounds. A moment on the lips. Piles, pounds, that's fat on your sodden hips.
He looks the same to me.
And me.
Yes, well, to reiterate, you two. Shut up. In my opinion, Wilf, you should take the advice of all the top scientists to cut out dairy, wheat, and you should definitely give up coleslaw.
Give up coleslaw?
It's a necessary sacrifice, Wilf. Do you know what doctors call coleslaw? The silent killer.
Look, I've got to go. I've left the shop. If you see Malcolm, can you tell him to get back pronto?
Will do, Wilf. Yes, you get back to the shop quickly. There's no knowing what might have happened with you not at the shop. For all you know, there could have been an avalanche.
An avalanche? Here?
Hey, listen, clever clog. They can cause an avalanche just by yodeling in Swaziland. Oh, there you are, Malcolm. I was beginning to wonder what had befallen upon you.
Here's your envelope.
Aha! Oh, it's come, has it? Give us it here.
I got there the same time as he was delivering it. Did you give Mr. Taylor a sandwich?
He's on a diet now.
Why?
I can't go into it now. Suffice to say, it's a long and complicated story with the terrifying spectre of coleslaw at its heart. Oh, look, here's the song they want me to do. Beautiful Briny Sea. Piano accompaniment. Where am I going to get a piano? Oh, here, you can play the piano, Malcolm.
Yes, but I've got to get back to...
Oh, never mind butchery now. I think you'll find I'm much more important. It'll only take 5 minutes with my perfect pitch.
What about Mr. Taylor?
Oh, for crying out loud, that's not such a big problem, is it? It's not exactly the Cubist missile crisis. Geoffrey!
What?
Go round to Wilf's and tell him Malcolm's broken his leg.
You can't tell him that.
Why?
Well, you can't break your leg for 5 minutes. He'll expect me to be in a wheelchair or something.
Brilliant idea. I've got an old wheelchair at home.
What are you doing with a wheelchair?
I found it propped up against the car. I thought if no one else wants it, I might as well have it.
Oh, that was in the paper.
What was?
I remember reading it in the advertiser. Somebody had just got into their car from a wheelchair, and when they reached out to lift the wheelchair in, it had been stolen.
Oh, yes, I remember that. That was you.
No. It can't have been my wheelchair. I was nowhere near Roseville Road when that happened.
Said anything about Roseville Road?
Oh, Roseville Road, that's right.
No. I said Roseville Road.
Where's that?
Precisely. So how can it have been me if no one knows where it is? Anyway, shut up, everybody. Geoffrey, go and tell Wilf Malcolm's drained his ankle falling off his Cuban heels. Cuban heels. Malcolm, come with me. This song won't learn itself.
I'm not really good at sight reading.
How do you normally read then?
It's a term you use in music when the performer hasn't seen the sheet music or the music notation before. They also call it prima vista. It's Italian for at first sight. They say it's harder for a singer than someone who plays an instrument because a singer has to judge the correct pitch for themselves, unlike the piano, say, that has the keys to obtain the correct pitch. Count strong.
You block off talking to me like that. Come on, then. What are you doing here?
To play your piano for your song, for your audition.
Of course, not better than dipsticks. Come on, then. Bobbing along. Bobbing along, bobbing along at the bottom of the beautiful... Wait for me! Crying out loud, what are you playing at? Start again! Bobbing along at the bottom of the beautiful... Wait! Stop! Play it properly, will you?
I am playing it properly. There's only two bobbings. You're doing three.
Oh, no, I'm not having that. My bobbins was perfect. There was just the right amount. You're playing it too fast. Start again and do it properly this time. Bobbing along. Come, stop now, you saying that. Thanks to you pointing that out. All right, I've definitely got it now. This time, I've definitely got it. Go on. Bobbing along at the bottom. That was you then. I had it then, if you hadn't sped up. Look at the time. We've got to go now.
I've got to get back.
Listen, don't you worry about getting back to Wilf's. There's more important things going on in this world than getting back to Wilf's.
But it's my first day there.
Oh, for crying out loud. We've got the wheelchair, haven't we? You'll be all right.
Well, what if he sees me going into a theatre?
Oh, for crying out louder. Look, I'll push you there. All right, it's not that far. Will that shut you up? And listen, you could tell him it's work-related, caused by hoiking carcasses around. Repetitive carcass disorder. You could make a few bob out of that. You want to get onto claims erect? Right, come on, get in the bloody wheelchair then. Let's get to the sodden Adolf Hitler Theatre. Oh, for goodness sake, are we not there yet? I can hardly move my legs. I thought it was all flat the way here.
Yeah, and I thought you were supposed to be pushing me.
I pushed you a good half of the way.
You pushed me for about 10 yards.
It's not my fault I live up a hill I'd forgotten about. Shut up anyway, we're here now. Oh, look at that. How are we supposed to get down those steps to the stage door? They should have a wheelchair ramp. It's scandalous.
You could always get out the chair.
That's not the point, Malcolm. There's a principle involved here. Get the stage door, man. Hold me straight. I'm tipping over.
easy now, sir.
Just sit in the middle of the wheelchair. You're leaning to one side.
It's him. He's much smaller than you.
I can't help being smaller, and I shouldn't be doing any heavy lifting.
No, put your back into it. What sort of man are you?
A 72-year-old one.
You've only got two more steps to go. What's up with you? Come on. 28, 29, 30. There we are.
Oh, let me get me breath back.
Push me through the door first. Come on, I'm going to be late. At last. Right, I'm going to leave this chair with you whilst Malcolm and I go to the audition.
You can stand up.
Of course I can stand up.
Well, we've just carried you down the stairs.
And your point is? Come on, Malcolm. Why are you still dressed as a butcher? You should be dressed as a pianist. You could at least have washed the blood off your apron. Mind you, I suppose that straw boater makes you look a bit show-busy. A bit Horace Chevalier. That's French for Charles Aznavour. The horse slaughterer. Thank heavens for little grills. Oh, hello, everybody. Count Arthur Strong. Hello.
Petra Davis, can I help you?
I'm here for what my agent described to me, Petrel, as the mere formality of my audition for the leading role of Eric someone in your Christmas production of Brimstone and Treacle. Treacle and Doorknobs. Head knobs and broom trees.
Bed knobs and broomsticks.
Is he a butcher?
Yes.
No. Well, shut up. He's a pianist called Malcolm, who sometimes is a butcher. You know what it's like in the business. If you want to get on, you have to be prepared to have some meat behind you. A lot of musicians are trained butchers, a lot of them. Elton John, Brian Ferryboat, Miley Cyrus, all five of the Beatles, Michael Bublé Bath.
Well, my audition sheet says you're in at 12:15.
I am perfectly well aware of that.
It's 6 o'clock.
Is it? How did I get on? I presume I smashed it.
I'm afraid the auditions are finished. We've cast the part.
You can't have. I would have been on time if you'd had a sodding ramp. I've just had to make a 72-year-old man carry me down a flight of 30 steps.
Why?
Because Malcolm, my butcher stroke pianist, is pretending he sprained his ankle.
So why were you carried down a flight of steps?
Because I, Portia, am a principled man.
Everything all right, Petra?
Who are you?
Oh, I'm the producer and an owner of the theatre, Andrew Baxter.
This gentleman was supposed to audition today.
Hey, I'm not a gentleman. I'm Count Arthur Strong.
Count Arthur Strong? Good grief! It is you! Oh, my word! I saw you in pantomime when I was a child.
Did you? Well, hey, it's much too late to get your money back now. There's a statute of limitations on things like that.
My dad was the owner then. I've never forgotten it. Puss in Boots. You were incandescent.
How dare you?
All that tripping up and falling over and coming on the wrong time. I had tears streaming down my face. Funniest thing I've ever seen in my life was when you set the curtains on fire and then fell into the orchestra pit.
Yes, well, that wasn't my fault. That the sodding cat pushed me. It never liked me, that cat, after I caught it squatting down in the wings, looking like it was about to go. All I did was give it a gentle boot up the backside.
Wasn't the cat Bonnie Langford?
Was it?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, a fat lot of good Oedipus in boots has done me, isn't it, eh? If you're all cast now.
Well, look, surely, Petra, we can find something.
Understudy, eh?
Congratulations.
Oh, if you ask me, that's a better part than the main part, because I am understudy for everything except the women's bits. Parts. Women's parts. No, not women's parts. Parts of a woman. No, that's not right either. Roles. Everything except the women's bits of parts of roles.
Should I get in the chair now? It's only round the corner.
Oh, go on then. And try and weigh less, will you? For goodness sake. If my hernia pops out again, then it will be on your head. Oh, look, there's Wilf outside the shop. Leave all the talking to me. All right, Wilf.
Arthur. Well, Malcolm, you're in a wheelchair.
Oh, yes, Wilf. Oh, you would not believe the day we've had.
Well, what's the matter with you then, Malcolm?
Well, it's...
Now, what did the doctor say, Malcolm? You're to rest your voice.
Geoffrey said you told him to tell me Malcolm had a sprained ankle. Why has he got to rest his voice?
Because, Wilf, because there were complications.
What sort of complications?
Lockjaw. Extreme lockjaw. Oh, the doctor said it was the worst case of rigor mortis lock of the chin he'd ever seen in the 36 years he'd been doing it. He said Malcolm's jaw is so tightly clamped shut that he'd probably need dynamite to blow it open.
Look, I think it's best...
Shut up!
He seems to be able to move his mouth quite well to say he's got lockjaw.
Yes, yes, he can give that delusion of movement, I think the doctor called it. So there is hope.
Hope? Hope for what?
That one day he will be a complete man again.
Afternoon, Wilf.
Oh, Constable Thompson.
Oh, for goodness, Constable Thompson. Look, everybody, it's Constable Thompson. And as we're all innocently going about our business...
Be careful with that wheelchair, won't you? I suppose you heard about the one that was stolen.
Oh, yes, that was literally awful.
Between you and me, I'd like to bang up whoever did it and throw away the key.
Oh, how lovely. Well, I must be getting on. People to do, things to steal. Not steal, not steal. Just pulling your leg, Constable Haywayne. What's the matter? Can't you take a joke, you enormous... moron.
In fact, do you mind if I check the serial numbers on that chair? It's just a formality to eliminate you from our inquiries.
Oh, look, there's my Buster somewhere. You can push yourself home, can't you, Malcolm?
Yes, please.
One to as far away from here as possible, please.
We're only going one more stop.
Oh, no. You've got to go much further than that. Come on, jump up. I hereby commandeer this bus in the name of the Variety Club of Great Britain.
You can't do that. Hey, get off me.
Shift yourself. Come on. This is an emergency.
Oi.
That's it. Any more fares? No. Right then. Hold tight. Cuba, here we come.
Appearing with Count Arthur Strong were Mel Gedroich, Alistair Kerr, Dave Mountfield and Terry Kilkelly as Malcolm. The script was written by Steve Delaney and edited by Graham Duff. Count Arthur Strong's radio show was recorded live at the Lowry Theatre, Salford, was produced by John Leonard and is a 7 Digital Commedia Entertainment production.